One reason why we come together is so that we can be gripped of our calling. You know, not many are gripped by the wonderful calling God's given us. And that's why we meet together often, so that we can stir and encourage one another. I want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Three onwards. I want to highlight one aspect of our calling this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. There's a wonderful expression here, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. It's not enough to get saved. It's not enough to get baptized in water. It's not enough to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. You must learn to be a disciple and come under the Lordship of Jesus so that we can say Jesus is Lord. And not only Jesus is Lord, we should be able to say, Jesus is my Lord. The whole purpose of instruction, coming together, teaching is that we become disciples and Jesus becomes our Lord and He has full control over our lives. That's the goal of the church. Can you say this morning, Jesus is my Lord? Can you say that boldly? Yes, shall you all say together, to first, Jesus is Lord. Second is Jesus my Lord. Jesus is Lord. And now, Jesus is my Lord. Good. Yeah, and we want to move on to one more verse that's challenged my own heart this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 13. It says here, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. That's a very, very strong expression. You said Jesus is Lord. You said Jesus is my Lord. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, can you say boldly, by one Spirit I have been baptized into one body? Then I know not many are able to say that boldly. I almost never heard anyone testifying like this. I've been baptized through the Holy Spirit into one body. You know, many believers, after they're saved and even after they're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, they're not integrated into the body of Christ. And it says here, same verse, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a great longing to baptize us into one body. That means you don't remain as just individuals. Like you've heard often many times Brother Zach say, we don't remain as just bricks. Individual bricks. No, the Lord wants to build us together. You know, so many believers are so lonely. They're scattered. They don't have fellowship. They're not built up together. And here we can understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in this connection, verse 14, it says, the body is not one member, but many. All of us got a body, and we know that in this body there are many, many members. And, you know, in this body, even though there are hundreds of parts, every part is connected to the brain, and each part is connected internally in a wonderful and a mysterious way. That is a human body. In the same way, even in the spiritual body of Christ, we are not, each one is connected to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are also connected to each other internally through the head. And that's what we call the body of Christ. And that's what's on my heart this morning. What is the beauty about the body of Christ? In the body of Christ, each one's got a direct, strong connection with the Lord, and they receive nourishment from the Lord, and they're also connected to each other. Each member is connected to the Lord, and each member receives nourishment from God and gives to each other. And verse 7 to 11 says here, and before that verse 7, I want to read it from the Living Bible here. Verse 7. In the Living Bible it says very wonderfully, 1 Corinthians 12:7, the Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. I'd like to read it once again. When you go home, read it from the Living Bible. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. And we can see now how the Holy Spirit helps the entire church. It says here, to each one, for to one is given by the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And verse 11 says, but all these works that one in self-same spirit divide into every man severally as a will. The Holy Spirit distributes many gifts of the Spirit to different members of the body of Christ, and we have no choice in that. And not only that, it says here, verse 18, now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. Brothers and sisters, do you know that you're not ordained to just be an lonely member? God says here, has set the members, every one of them, I hope you can put your name there, in the body, as it has pleased him. That means God has placed you and me in the body of Christ. He has given us a specific part. And not only that, He has given us a specific function. And He gives us various gifts of the Spirit. And see Romans 12, for example. There also speaks about different gifts. Romans 12, verse 6. Maybe it's 5 onwards. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, different gifts, prophecy, faith, ministering, teaching, exhortation, giving, okay, so on and so forth. There are different gifts, and again in Ephesians chapter 4, Jesus speaks about the gifts again. Verse 8, wherefore he says, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Verse 10, he that descended the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave. See, God has given to the church not only individual gifts, but apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors, teachers. Why? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. I think many of us, I can't say we are so gripped by this calling. Why? So that we can come to maturity in Christ. Verse 13. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15 again, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16 again. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working the measure of every part, makes increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. God's will is that we not only have a connection with the Lord, have a healthy connection with each other. And as we receive nourishment from God, we're supposed to give that nourishment to one another, then the body stays healthy. And coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 21, here it says, and I cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. Not again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, but much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. You may say, brother, I am a very insignificant person. I don't have any ministry. I don't even know whether I am necessary. Do you feel you're insignificant this morning? How many of you feel you're insignificant? Can I see your hands? Don't get frightened. Yeah, many, vast majority of us feel like that because, see, there are only few parts that are visible, that have outstanding function. For example, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, maybe the hands and feet. The rest of the body is all covered. And same way in the church. Only some people have outstanding gifts and outstanding ministry. Most of us don't have such an outstanding ministry. So we can all feel, I'm not so important. I'm not so useful. I don't know whether God's got any plan for me. But here it says, those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. I want all of you to say this for me. I am necessary to the church. I can see most of you are not believing. Can you say, if you believe, can you say that? I am necessary to the church. If you really believe that, you should give me a party. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you are necessary to the church. God's got a plan and a purpose and a function for you. You're not unimportant. And not only that, you can't have the attitude, I don't need the others. You know, that's the mark of a man. Maybe very gifted, very capable. And he can have that attitude, I don't need you fellas. In the body of Christ, everyone is important. You are needed. You and I are needed. And what we call, there is interdependence, not independence. And in the body of Christ, there's no competition. There's no strife. There's no jealousy. Because just like in this body, there are so many hidden parts. You know, for your information, the vital organs of our body, they're all hidden. Brain, heart, lungs, kidney, liver, stomach, so on and so forth. The vital organs are hidden. So what is the spirit of the body of Christ? Even though I am invisible, even though I am hidden, I am useful for the church. And the right spirit of the body of Christ is, I love to be hidden. Do you have that? Do you have that desire, brothers and sisters? I long to be hidden. I love to be hidden. Very rarely you can see people like that. And not only that, here, verse 23. This is the glory of the body of Christ. And 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need. God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. If you are really baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you have the Spirit of Christ, you know what shall we do? We shall honor each other. Give more honor, brother. You are wonderful. You are needed for the church. And I believe we need to learn more and more of that. That we make others feel they are valuable. They are important. You know, in all the denominations, supposing there's a doctor or a guy with a PhD or a man with a high position in society, even if he's carnal, he'll be in the leadership. He'll be in the board. But in the body of Christ, we value those who honor God, and we value those who are spiritually minded, and we value people who don't have outstanding gifts. Can I hear amen for that? Brothers and sisters, we are not gripped enough. I want to say, oh, that's the glory of the body of Christ. I've seen in many denominations, they will never care for a person who's not gifted. Even if he fears God, even if he's humble, they see what is his status, what is his position, how much money does he give to the church. Yes, we want such a man. Supposing you're an IS officer, even if you're a colonel, they'll make you in the board. In the church, we fight against that. We want to honor people because of their connection with the Lord, of their connection with each other, because God has placed them in the church. And one more thing about the body of Christ. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, can you really say, God brought me to the church, He has baptized me, and He's integrated me with the brothers and sisters. Now I'm not alone. I'm not an individual believer. I got a connection with the Lord, and I got a connection with the brothers and sisters who also got a connection with the Lord. You know, Jesus, when He was on earth, Jesus was the first body of Christ. He came 2,000 years ago, and He gave His body as a living sacrifice. Some of you may say, brother, I'm not sure whether I'm a member of the body of Christ. Shall I clarify? If you give your body as a living sacrifice, you are a valuable member in the body of Christ. See, Jesus never did His will in His body. He gave His body as a living sacrifice. You know, in many, many churches, they value people who give more money to the church. They value people who can sing well. That's why they give so much importance to music in many, many churches. Main thing is music and money. But in the church, we value those who give their body as a living sacrifice to God. That's how they become part of the body of Christ. And each member learns to be thankful for each other. See in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, with which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. You know, in this body, as I said, there's no strife. In this human body, each function, each part is performing its function peacefully. And verse 25, 1 Corinthians 12, 25. This is another characteristic of the body of Christ. But there should be no division in the body, that the members should have the same care for one another. Whether one member suffers, all the members suffer. One member is the honored, all the members rejoice with it. How do you know you are part of the body of Christ? Not because your name is in the commitment list. You can be deceived. Not because you attend the conference. Not because the elders accepted you. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, can you say, God has baptized me into the body of Christ. I'm a living, functioning member in the body of Christ. And another aspect, as I told you, that you're a member in the body of Christ is, when one member is honored, you rejoice. And when one member suffers, you suffer. You feel that concern and care for one another. You know, I heard of mega churches. Thousands of people come, but they don't know who's sitting next to them. And after the meeting, they all go away. There's no connection. There's no relationship. There's no fellowship. And in the body of Christ, there's unity. There's coordination. There's no, as I said, comparison and conflict. But there's fellowship. Like we say, there's joints. You know, all of us got joints. And they work in coordination. There are different ministries, different gifts, different function. But they all work together in peace and unity. And the main thing about our body. You know what is the main thing about a body? Can someone tell me? I'm really not preaching. The main thing about the body is life and health. You know, we're all concerned that we should be healthy in this body. And, you know, there should be life, like our children. Our children, when they're healthy, they're running around. They're so happy. And you see, when a person is sick, you know, he's just lying down. There's no life. Or when a person is paralyzed, he can't move his hand, and the hand becomes like that. And unfortunately, sometimes in the body of Christ, many in the Corinthian church, Paul told them, many of you are weak and sick. Some of them are paralyzed. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, this morning, are you a healthy, living, functioning member in the body of Christ? That's God's will for all of us. You know, in this body, we have to fight against sickness. Oh, it's amazing, in this fallen world, there's so much of sickness every way. And that's why we need to eat healthy food, do exercise, and if possible, take medicine. And whenever sickness attacks us, we go to the doctor, and the doctor gives us antibiotics so that the sickness and the infection is healed. And you know why we come to the church? That you get a connection with the Lord, and you get a right connection with one another. For example, if you have unforgiving attitude, you are sick. I want to say that this morning. If you have an unforgiving attitude to anybody in the church or outside, you are sick. If you are sinning in secret, you are sick. And many sins cause spiritual sickness. And that's the reason so many are not flourishing. They're not healthy. You know, you can easily make out when you look at a brother, you can see, you know, like the doctors say, they look at your leg, it's swollen. Oh, there's a kidney problem, the good doctor says. And we're not experts, but we can make out. Some brothers never seem to grow. There is some spiritual sickness, spiritual infection. Oh, brothers and sisters, you need to go to Jesus. You need to get healing. And we should be able to say, the Lord, He healed me of all spiritual sickness. And when the Lord heals you, you will be healthy, lively. Oh, I like to see children running around, full of life. You see, the children are all waiting for the meeting to be over. They can't be sitting quiet. They're waiting when I'll finish the message. They want to go out and play. They got life. Till the meeting, they're all constrained. And you know, when you have life, oh, it's wonderful to... Jesus said, I came that you might have life, an abundant life. And may the Lord give us grace to be part of this wonderful body of Christ that God is building. Okay, that's number one. And what is the goal for the church? Not only that I have a connection with the Lord, I have a connection with each other. That means I have good fellowship with the Lord and with each other. But God's great longing is to fill our hearts with His love, with divine love, so that we can learn to love each other. See, Jesus said in John 13, love you one another as I've loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That's a favorite verse that all of us know. John chapter 13, 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is another means of evangelism. Some people think we don't do evangelism. How shall we do evangelism? Not only go and tell others that Jesus is a Savior, but we shall learn to love one another as Jesus loved us. And the more we love one another, the Bible says, others will come to know that we are disciples. First, we must be disciples. We must be under the Lordship of Christ, have a healthy relationship with each other, and love each other. And we need to grow in love. How shall we grow in love? Here it says, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of this is love. Verse 4, chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue after love and desire spiritual gifts. And then Apostle Paul explains this wonderful, he explains about love in chapter 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. There's no envy there. There's no jealousy. And there's no pride. There's no high-mindedness. Does not behave itself and seeks not own. It's not selfish. It's not easily provoked. Thinks no evil. You know, brothers and sisters, you may ask, brother, how can I get this love? Shall I tell you this morning? You have to put to death all the lusts in your flesh. There's so much of pride in all of us. And that's what causes difficulty in loving each other. You know, when pride is put to death, you long to be the least and last and servant of all. It's almost impossible to find a church where everybody is seeking to be the last and the least and servant of all. I want to ask you this morning, is that your longing? Is that the reason why you want to be part of the church? Brother, I want to be the least. I want to serve the others. Can you say, brother, by the grace of God, I put to death every envy and jealousy I see in my brother, in my life, so that I rejoice when it goes well with the other brothers and sisters. I put to death all that anger so that I'm not irritable. So many people are touchy. Small things provoke them. That means you are not walking in love. If you're so touchy, I want to say this morning, you are not walking in love. You're not living in love. You're not abiding in love. And you know, and your unforgiving attitudes, you're not walking and abiding in love. You know, the Bible says, have fervent love. Love covers multitude of sins. How do you know you've learned to love? You learn to forgive. You learn to cover up. You don't expose your brother and sister. And the Bible says we should be rooted and grounded in love. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, do you love the brothers and sisters? Like someone said, it's easy to love the saints in glory, but to love the saints here below, there's another story. Can you look at the brothers and sisters here and say, I love these brothers and sisters. I want to love them more. I want to learn from them. I desire the best for them. I'm thankful for them. I'm sorry to say, some of us are not even taking time to have fellowship. How can you say you love them? And you know, if you're loving each other, if you're loving God, loving each other, having a right attitude to one another, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, there'll be a growth from God. You know that verse? Colossians chapter 2 verse 19. It's a lovely verse. Colossians chapter 2 verse 19. See, you can say, in holding the head from whom all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment listed, and knit together, increases with the increase from God. Can you say this morning? Some of you have been here for long. Can you say, God has given me a growth, and the growth is from God? Some of you become silent. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 14, it says, above all these things put on love, which is the bond of perfect unity. The more you love one another, there will be unity. There will be fellowship. The more you put to death all the strong will, seeking your own. And again, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16. Coming back to the verse, we looked at it earlier. It says here, it makes increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. The church is built up in love. Shall I say it once again? The church is built up in love. The more you love God, the more you love one another. The church is built up in love. And that's what God's looking for. Those who love Him with all their hearts, those who love one another, whom we can see, not those in China and Russia. And the goal of all the brothers and sisters must be, how can I love them more? How can I learn to love? Lord, if you'll only give me love. It's wonderful to love, brothers and sisters. And when you love, first of all, you find your place in the body of Christ. Then you learn to love. And coming back to 1 Corinthians 12, it says, chapter 14, verse 1, fall after love and desire earnestly spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. You know, when you love the brothers and sisters, you want to bless them, you want to serve them, Then you say, Lord, give me the gift of prophecy. Have you seen a church like that? That's God's will. And here, chapter 14, verse 2, it says, verse 4, he that prophesies edifies the church. Chapter 14, verse 12, even so, for as much as you're zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you will be gripped by this verse. Lord, help me to edify the church. Help me to build the church. You see, brother, is it my job? Yes, it is your job. Chapter 14, verse 24. He says, if all prophesy, all means includes you. And there's one that believes, not one learned, is convicted of all, is conjudged of all. The secrets of his heart are made manifest and the falling down on his face. You'll worship God. And then verse 31. You may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. In other words, brothers and sisters, if you are connected to the Lord and connected to each other, when you come to the meeting, you don't keep quiet. Oh, you have a longing to bless the church, build the church, edify the church, and not only on Sunday morning, during the week. You long to give them a word. You long to encourage, minister, bless. Oh, it's wonderful to love. And 14:39. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy. What an expression. You know, the reason why many brothers and sisters are not growing is they're disobeying God's word. The Bible says, covet to prophesy. That means you have a passionate desire to prophesy, to bless, to strengthen. And Galatians 5:13 it says, by love serve one another. The more you love, the more you serve, the more you give. And I want to quickly tell you the laws of the body of Christ. The laws of the body of Christ is love. We used to sing one song, love, love, love. Gospel is one word, love. Humility, that's the law of the body of Christ. Peace, unity, purity, gratitude. And when you love, you learn to cleanse yourself. Cleansing, fellowship. It's not a strain when you love God and love each other. We used to sing the song, fellowship, oh sweet. Is it like that in your life? How you want to say fellowship, oh how distant it is. Brothers and sisters, I'm not joking. Is it? Do you have a distance between you and the brothers? Then you don't know fellowship. And the body of Christ is faithfulness. Each one is faithful in the time of temptation. As I already said, everyone is longing to be eaten. And everyone is useful. And everyone learns to appreciate each other. And they receive nourishment through God's word. And they grow. And they're healthy. And there's life. I want to say, I myself was challenged by this calling. I said, Lord, I want to be such a member in the body of Christ. I don't want to be a passive, lazy, paralyzed member in the body of Christ, sick member in the body of Christ. And you know, more the Holy Spirit works in us and works through us. The Holy Spirit will bring healing. Like it says, He sent His word and healed them. You know, we are supposed to minister healing to one another. Are you like that, brothers and sisters? Are you sick this morning? Will you say, Lord, I have not fulfilled my function in the body of Christ. And what is the goal? Maturity of Christ. What a fantastic goal. Lord, I want to be mature. I'm not satisfied with my growth. I want to grow more, Lord. I want to love you more. I want to love others more. And that's the church Jesus is longing, brothers and sisters. I want to ask you this morning. Some of you are so concerned. Your name should be in the commitment list. But are you concerned that you have a connection with the Lord and each other? Are you longing to love each other? Otherwise, what's the point in having your name in the telephone list? It has no meaning, I want to say. Even if you come here for many years, even if you give money, even if you come to the conference, I want to say, you are not a living, functioning member in the body of Christ. You know, one part is paralyzed, that's a burden to the body. You know, when a member is paralyzed, you know what happens? That part becomes very heavy. Are you a heavyweight in the body of Christ? Brothers and sisters, you need healing. I want to say this morning, ask the Lord to heal you. this life from God that will bring healing. And your life will become glorious. And you will be so thankful. Thank you, Lord, for giving me one place. You know, someone said we are only one link in the chain. We are just one member in the body of Christ. There are so many other brothers and sisters. No, we are not talking about the universal body of Christ. We are talking about the local body of Christ. That is you and me, whom we can see. I want to ask you this morning, go and examine yourself. Why are you lonely? Why are you not so healthy? Why are you not so useful? Why are you not ministering life to one another? Go to the doctor Jesus. Say, Lord, I'm sick. I'm paralyzed. Lord, heal me. When Jesus was on earth, he healed those who were paralyzed. I want to say this morning, the Lord is present in our midst to minister his healing to all of us so that we can be active, healthy, functioning, thankful member of the body of Christ, always ministering healing. Oh, may God help us. I want to sing a song written by A.B. Simpson. Now all his members can be anointed. You know, Jesus is not here in our midst, but the body of Christ is here. Just like Mary anointed the body of Christ, all of us, we can anoint the body of Christ. Don't tell me after hearing the message, where is the body of Christ, brother? That means you are sleeping. I'll close with this verse to wake you up. 1 Corinthians 12. What a fantastic verse. 12. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. What a specific word. So all of you, you feel you're not a part of the body of Christ. He says, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. And oh, there'll be so much contentment, thankfulness, fellowship. Maybe say, Lord, I will give myself to you and to the church. And oh, may the Lord bring a revival in our midst.
We heard much about how the church is a body. I was thinking how different it is from the corporate world, the world where, you know, they kind of have a pyramid structure to command and control the large organization. You know, the one person sitting on the top and he gives his instructions to the second layer, that goes on to the third layer, fourth layer. And the whole pyramid is controlled and doing what the top wants. But the church is so different. The church is so different. We saw that one difference that is primary. Every part is connected to the head. Every part gets nourishment and strength and life from the head. And then each part works together. It's a wonderful protection to be part of the body of Christ. We heard about the insignificant part. Sometimes you may think that I'm like a little finger. I was thinking that, you know, for a tennis player, how they hold a grip on the racket. You ask him how insignificant the little finger is, every tennis champion will have a healthy little finger. Think about these ear ducts, the tear ducts which are there in the eye. If that tear duct did not work for one day, lubricating the eye, it's constantly just crying, just water coming out. But if it didn't work for one day, the eye would become blind. Every part in the body has much to give to the body. And to that extent that part is not working, to that extent the whole church suffers, is hampered, is limited, because some part isn't functioning. We heard about a paralyzed part. When I think 3-4 years ago, there I was one of those paralyzed parts. The miracle that Lord does, the miracle that Lord does to many paralyzed parts, which may be even sitting here, is he doesn't leave us alone like that. Think back to that, person in Bethsaida. He was paralyzed, lying there for 38 years. Think about that, the woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years. God didn't leave them like that. God wanted to do something
to them. They weren't just statistics. He met them. He worked through them. And you know, this church is like a hospital. A healthy church is like a hospital. And we have many beds. And sometimes we are paralyzed. We are lying side by side there. But we have elders who are like doctors, like good surgeons. Sometimes we may need a serious surgery or a chemotherapy to come out of our paralysis. Or we have motherly nurses here. But the wonderful thing is that, you know, by my side is another patient who's also been through it and is finding that this is life and healing in the church is available. That God works through brothers who can testify that, listen, I had messed up. I was one of those paralyzed ones, but the Lord has a plan. The Lord did not leave me as a statistic. The Lord worked in my life. And when I have a patient by my side who can testify, a testimonial that there is life in the church, then I know this is the right place. This is a good church. I may be an ordinary brother, but I'm surrounded by brothers in which the life of God, the connection to the head, is real and true and living. And the Lord has a plan for me. The Lord wants to write faith like that in our hearts, brothers and sisters. I was thinking in 1 Corinthians, we saw about chapter 12, chapter 13, and nestled right there in the middle is chapter between 12 and 14. 12 talks about spiritual gifts. Chapter 14 talks about spiritual gifts. And in the middle is chapter 13, which talks about love. And it came to me like this. I may not be sometimes we may not be gifted. We may not necessarily have the outgoing gifts that some who stand in the pulpit have. But God has called all of us to love. To love. And chapter 13 is about that. It says that even if you have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries, without love you are nothing. Primarily, chapter 13 is like this leveling ground, which says that yes, there are spiritual gifts, but God's spiritual fruit is for everybody. He has His love. We read in Matthew chapter 22 verse 37, where Jesus says the two most important things on which the whole of the law and the prophets hang is love. Love God, love your brother, love your neighbor. I wanted to just end with that portion in 1 John chapter 3, chapter 4, sorry. It says that in chapter 4, verse 7, it's a call to love. It says that, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who is born of God loves and knows God. The Lord doesn't want just us to live at the level of maybe some spiritual gifts. He's calling us higher. He's calling us to have the capacity, the ability to love the unlovable, to love my neighbor, to love a person who's so different from me, to love. And in that love, the life of God is poured out in me. It says that for the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I know I'm so far from there. But I know in a healthy church, the Lord is calling us, each one of us, onward to be connected deeper with Him, to be connected to Him, that His love may flow through us. Amen.